Okay, is this the class that you guys are here for? We had some question as to whether we are on the right 270, but if you are here for information retrieval, mining, and integration on the internet, then that's good. Otherwise, you leave or I leave. Okay. So all of you got this one sheet that you need to complete and return back to me by the end of the class. So you don't need to do it right away, but you know, you have to get that to me by the end of the class. A couple of things before we get started. So I think all of you are awake, right? Awake?
Yes.
Okay, I am not. But that's fine. I think normally I teach earlier in the mornings and you're all asleep and I'm awake. But I wake up at 5:30, so it's like 12 hours I'm up. So if you start sleeping, I'll also sleep. So you know, hopefully you are awake and you'll keep me awake. We'll see. So the first thing I want to do actually to see whether in fact you're awake and I can take some rest is to let you teach the course. So, you know, you are here presumably for some reasons to do with web search or web or information retrieval or whatever. I don't know what is exactly the reason you took the course. You probably will write some of your reasons. So I like this quote. It's actually attributed to Robert Kennedy, but who essentially paraphrased it from Bernard Shaw. Says, some people see things as they are and say why, or ask why. I dream of things that never were and say why not. Okay, so the biggest problem for this course is people come here and want to think that all they want to know is how the search engines currently work, which you will find out, okay? But I'm also interested in seeing what you think, either what you think we can do on web and what are all the problems with the existing search engines or the existing interfaces to the web, okay? If you do not have any problems, then you're in the wrong class because essentially you're not going to invent anything new, okay? You are essentially going to be just happy with what's already there. So let me start by seeing what you would like to do on the web. So what are your web dreams? What do you want web to do for you? Or are you happy with what it's already doing?
It should be able to understand the human language.
It should be able to understand the human language. I'm going to write this down, okay? Let's see a few things that we can write down. Should understand human language. Okay. This is kind of more, more decipherable to me than to you, but that's one of the things somebody wants. So what's wrong with what it's doing? Isn't it already understanding human language? It's not able to interpret in the more better way. Okay, fine. So you're unhappy with that, I assume. Can you think of a particularly, whoever speaks, obviously other people are thinking, thank goodness it's her than us, okay? But you too have to speak. So my question would be for you, can you think of a time when you felt particularly frustrated because something on the web didn't understand human language? And you know, since you spoke first already, I'll let you think about it and you can come back. Somebody else, what else you want web to do?
When searching for certain things, I've had to rephrase what I've said over and over again in order to get the right keywords in there in order to find what I want.
Okay. So what do you want it to do? That's a complaint, but what do you want? Just make me happy is, of course, a reasonable thing to say, except that make
so
me happy.
Do a search, find what I want.
Can do a search, find what I want. I mean, so So here's an interesting question. Don't you think search engines are already finding what you want?
Not all the time.
So again, since you spoke second, you think about an example from your life, you know, where you searched for something and it didn't quite give you what you wanted. Okay, and I'll come back to you people, okay? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So that your acronym is CAN, C-A-N?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like,
why did you you felt the acronym T-H-E, the was taken already? That's why you went with CAN, C-A-N? Okay, so it's a good, interesting point. So this man wants, so the keywords are being ignored. Context is being ignored. So you do get some results, right? It's just that it's giving every possible sentence with the word can in it. Okay, by the way, we'll get back to this. Does anybody know, again, it's not very clear to me how much of search engines and IR you already know. It's fine that you might well know a lot, and in fact, it may well be that this entire class will be boring for you, okay? So does anybody know some jargon that you can use to describe words like can or the? What? Stop words. We'll find out about this. If you don't hear about it, that's fine. We'll find out about this pretty much by next class. You know, basically search engines or anybody who is looking to index pages or index things will try to cut down stop words in the indexing. Actually, the problem now is that they do index it, it's just that they don't know. You know, in the old days when how many of you are old enough to have seen or at least have gone to Library of Alexandria to see the actual library catalogs where you pull the drawer and then see little sheets? Okay, great. Okay, so those were the actual catalogs. By the way, the whole point of information retrieval, IR, okay, came from library sciences. They were the ones who were interested in helping you when you went to Library of Congress or something, and you're looking for some book, then you go through these little drawers and then figure out a little sheet which may have the book that you're interested in. And then you look at the call number and then you go actually pick the book up. Right? Now, in that particular case, then they had to index these cards under various words and so on, and they had major trouble indexing books under the word the or can, because every book has those words. Do you see what I'm saying? And so they would basically think in terms of keywords, which somehow are not all the words in the text, just some subset of words which they think are keywords, and you better be thinking of one of those keywords that will be present in the book you are looking for so that you'll be able to find it in the catalog. Okay, and it's at that time that people will remove, for example, from the book titles and the book blurbs all the stop words and then only pick the rest of them as keywords. Okay, that's fine. I'm still continuing with this. Yes.
Summarizing information.
What else did you say before?
Outlining
and summarizing. Okay. Okay. So, do you have I mean, as we already, I already put two people on hold, but the rest of you who come up with a problem, just like him, you should actually give me an example where you got frustrated because it didn't outline or summarize. When were you frustrated? Because the biggest problem, here, just at the risk of stopping you in your tracks, the biggest problem is over-solving the problem. Over-solving the problem, okay. Basically, it in fact, put yourself before the onset of search engines. And you pretty much could have thought, well, the way to do web search would be to do natural language processing. And then forget about it for the next, 30, 40, 50 years, because NLP is a hard problem. Natural language processing is a hard problem, okay? One can say NLP is AI complete, and AI is, of course, CS complete. How many of you, if you are worried, if you are surprised that this jargon like dash complete, you should not be, because you are seniors, juniors, and horrors of horrors, graduate students, okay? So, instead of talking about NLP completeness, I'm just making up this idea called AI complete. That means it's NLP is as hard as the hardest problems in AI. And CS complete, AI is CS complete in the sense AI is as hard as the hardest problems in CS. Okay, so you could have thought, well, NLP is needed, and until then I wouldn't do anything. And pretty much that's what I think I did. That's why I missed starting Google. Okay, and that's not good, right? You want to be able to, so one of the interesting things is the areas NLP and IR. NLP, by the way, is natural language processing. IR is information retrieval. What is the difference? This course did not have the word natural language processing in the title. It had the word information retrieval in the title. What's the difference? And in some sense, if you wait for NLP, we probably would not be. The search engines wouldn't have started at the time they started. Okay, one of the things that you will understand during the course is how can you get by without really doing natural language processing, but making the people who are using the search engine think as if you're doing natural language processing. That's essentially what IR is, in some sense. Okay, so, I'm making you think about the frustrating experiences with the search engines, but I'm pretty sure you also had many, many good experiences with search engines. That's why Google is making so much money, Bing is making some money, and some other search engines are always starting, right? Okay, so essentially you do have a pretty good experience with search engines, and they still don't understand natural language processing, and you still think, wow, really, this thing understood what I was looking for. Okay, and so IR is essentially trying to do NLP without doing NLP. That's a way of thinking about it. Okay, and IR, when we first start thinking about IR, we will realize that it should not work. It makes no sense that IR works at all. Okay, in fact, jumping ahead a little bit, I would say that what IR does is it takes, most search engines do these days, is they take a file written in your favorite language, let's say English, okay? And then think of it as a bag of words, a bag of words. That means they remove the entire sentence structure, okay? And just say, oh, this file has 18 instances of this word, 4 instances of this word, 9 instances of this word. This other file has 7 instances of this word, 9 instances of this word, and 18 instances of this word. Are they good matches to each other? And you're just comparing bags. How can it make sense at all? Okay, of course, the reason it makes sense is we are looking not at full automation, but we are looking at computer-supported cooperative work. So computers and humans are in the loop, okay? So all I need to do for you is to show you something that's approximately close to what you're looking for in the first 10 or 100 results, and then you're happy. And you don't need to know that I don't understand what you're talking about. And every once in a while, that facade fails and you will realize, my God, I'm dealing with a search engine. It's not a human. Okay? So the reason I got to that is because I wanted to say that we don't want to overthink the problem. We don't really want to oversolve the problem. It's easy to be frustrated. So everything where you say something is not going on, like outlining and summarization, I would like you to think of, when did you feel frustrated that that wasn't available? Okay, and since you're all business people and you're going to start, you know, companies, and I don't know whether I mentioned this, but you're all supposed to give me a small percentage of your eventual profits, like 70 or so. So basically, I want to make sure that your business plans are good. You know, you have an idea, you know, if you have a great idea which has one customer, it's not going to work. You know, one of my favorite jokes is Woody Allen. How many people know Woody Allen? Okay, so Woody Allen, there used to be actually a cartoon strip on Woody Allen, and this cartoon strip where Woody Allen says that one of my great-great grandfathers almost became a billionaire. He would have become too, because, you know, he became a billionaire because he invented a substitute for gasoline. He would have become a billionaire, really, if he even sold 1 gallon, because each gallon cost $2 billion. Do you see what I'm saying? He had a great business plan, right? And if he just sold this 1 gallon of this thingy, you know, he would have become a billionaire. Unfortunately, he didn't. You know, that's the interesting point. So when we are while we are talking about what should be done, we should also be thinking about exactly what percentage of people are going to be unhappy. What percentage of the time that you're using the search engine are you going to be unhappy because this ability is not available? Both are required, okay? So, do you happen to know when you would be frustrated when you don't have outlining and summarization?
Not really. I was just thinking about, you know, the abstracts of the journal.
What? Abstracts of the journal,
yes.
Okay. So, you want automatic summarization.
Yes.
One possible thing, you know, at the risk of helping you make up your mind, is one possible thing I could suggest is that normally search engines show, I guess, what, 10 results? Okay, you really might have what you're looking for in the next page or next page. Unfortunately, none of you see anything beyond 10. In fact, you know, we'll talk about this point that, you know, studies have been done to show that nobody looks beyond the first 2 results most of the time, you know, because we're all bozos. We don't really care about what the results are. We just want to yell at the search engine if it's not in the first 2 results. But suppose, I think somebody said this maybe, suppose if you have, like, you know, top 300 results, and if you try to show them all top 300 results, that will be way too overwhelming, right? But suppose you cluster them. Suppose you summarized each cluster saying this seems to be about, you know, this particular topic. And here's a paragraph. And here's another topic with another paragraph. And so which one do you really like to see? And then you click on the topic that you want, then I'll show you the results corresponding to the topic. Okay, and in particular, you know, this could be useful in helping figure out which keywords did you really mean. So this guy said Ken, right? And suppose there are 3 trillion pages with the word Ken in one particular way, and 3 pages with the word Ken in another particular way. So these are the two, and if he just goes through page after page after page, it'll be a whole bunch of time before he gets to the other instance of Ken. Okay, so if I just show you, here is a 3 trillion bag, where can is being used as a verb, or auxiliary verb. And here is can, where can is being used as a noun, or something else. Then I can then, you know, use that to figure out where I want to go. Who else?
Yeah, so, right?
What?
Right?
So that's fine. I mean, you know, you can be unhappy. I don't know whether you must do everything in one click. I really would like to do. So again, how many of you know radar? The reason I ask this is, you know, I've been here, I think almost yesterday or today is my 20th year here. And Every year I find that my cultural references are lost on people because, you know, apparently most of you haven't even seen Seinfeld, for example, which would be a pretty bad thing as far as this class is concerned. So if you have late night time, you know, watch Seinfeld reruns. That will be useful. There is radar. Who's radar? Who has heard of MASH? MASH, okay. What's interesting about radar? Remember the way he helps the guy before he even actually asks? That's what you really want. You're saying that's already 2 clicks. I want 0 clicks. No clicks. I mean, if you want to be ambitious, be ambitious. You know, it's like radar basically, a really good secretary figures out what you want before you even realize that you want it. Okay, to me, radar is what I really want. You know, if you ask me, I would have said radar is what I want. You know, I don't want Google, I don't want Bing, I don't want Yahoo, I want radar. My own personal radar. Okay? So that basically is just to point out that it's not a question of, there is nothing sacrosanct about one click. It's just how fast can I get you to the information you're looking for. Yes, anybody else? Well, yes.
On the third point, all that outlining and summarizing information, I'm something like, let's say I'm searching at ASU, who are the professors who are teaching, let's say, artificial intelligence or information retrieval. While if I do the reverse, like, what are you actually teaching, I would get the results better with.
Mm-hmm.
But I won't get the results like a summarized in front of who are teaching. Because at ASU, like, there are just this many professors, and out of them only 2 or 3 maybe actually doing their work. So it's like how to gather the information which is there in different parts and summarizing it. So
again, what I think, putting words into your mouth, I would say what you might be looking for, I'm being your radar, query reformulation. Okay, so you ask for a keyword query, I somehow realize that you should be looking for something different, since I reformulate your query to some other keyword query and then send it to the search engine, for example. Anything else? By the way, you don't need to think only about search engines. I mean, you know, you can think of web in general. What else do you want to do on the web other than looking at pretty pictures, which I think you are already happy with, I'm hoping. So, yes, sir. What? Less advertisements. Yeah, okay. But that's already solved problem, isn't it? I mean, there are variety of grease monkey apps that you can throw in which will just, you know, half the time, you know, kill the advertisement, other half of the time also kill your mail. That's a different story. But, you know, if what you really hate is advertisements, at least you can stop that. But apparently there have been studies made which say that people mostly hate their mail. It's the advertisements that they like. Okay, so you never know. Okay, I will write it still, less advertisements. What else do you want to do with the web? Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Probably there must be a site that captures each site periodically in time-wise.
That's already done, actually. And there are already very interesting. This is one of the things. Your generation is sort of screwed, and the people who come after you are totally screwed, because if you put anything on the web, you're dead. It'll never go away. Okay? So if you, for example, right after one class wanted to call me names, and then you put it up on the web, and then you removed it and went to sleep, you're dead anyway, because I'll find it pretty soon. Somebody will, you know, thankfully find this, and, you know, it'll be with you. Okay. So in fact, there are major issues in terms of privacy, in terms of doing this. So the two issues. One is, you're talking about archiving the web, and there is, you know, time machines on the web. You know, there's the web archives, which are not particularly good, but they try. And secondly, the most annoying thing is Google's caching mechanism, which caches and keeps it for a while. And, you know, that's pretty, you know, in some sense, you may not want to be reminded of that. And then I believe when you got onto all these Facebooks, etc., you have signed away. When you say accept without reading anything, you probably gave up lots and lots of your privacy rights. Lots and lots and lots of your privacy rights. Okay? And so one of those may well be that, I mean, so basically the whatever you put on, in fact, there was a case some time back that where people wanted to remove their information completely from a social network. And they just said, yeah, we removed it. And then you went back. And then later on, you find that they still have it. You know, how do you make sure that they actually remove it? And what is the way you can ensure? I mean, if I had written something on the hard copy, I can tear it and burn it, and, you know, I'm done. Okay, so in fact, I'm more worried about the opposite problem. And I'm surprised that none of you are worried about it. But that's your generation. Okay, until it comes and, you know. Although, as a research area, privacy, on the web is a huge, huge issue. So I want to do everything, but I don't want anybody to know that I did any of those. That's what you really want. Except when I want to look for it. And then when police come to check my computer, they still should not be able to look for it. That's privacy. Right? There are interesting issues about, you know, the web and privacy. You know, in fact, humongously interesting issues about web and privacy. And, you know, half the time, you know, you keep reading about this. One of the nice things about teaching this course is, you know, you don't need to have a textbook. As we'll find out, we don't actually have a textbook. You can just read New York Times. You know, today's article on New York Times about social network, or Google, or Bing, or something, that would be relevant to the course. Because the topic we are talking about right now is just unfortunately, or fortunately, extremely timely and relevant. And it continues to be so. And so privacy is one of those issues. Yes. Data is volatile, but I might want to keep it volatile. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, despite the fact that I'm being recorded right now, and so I shouldn't be saying anything bad about Michael Crow, the president, you know, I sometimes might want to be able to say things that I don't want to be quoted about. Right? I mean, I think the point you made is not, I'm not trying to be too facetious about it. It would be good to have snapshots of the web, but I'm only saying that it's already there. For example, Google has the cache of the web, all the text cache. In fact, there are people who have used it for good. They lost their entire homepage on their server, and so they went to Google and found their homepage from 3 seconds back and put it back. So it does that. Okay. But you're talking about versioning systems. That is also possible. But my more interesting question would be, when you have those kinds of versioning systems, how do you make sure that the versions that you don't want anybody to see, somehow you have some say in the privacy of your life? Or are you giving up on all of it as soon as you get onto the web? That's an interesting question. Okay? In fact, related to privacy, here is an interesting question. The one thing that we will learn is you can do much better search. So for example, the first time this guy looks for the word can, okay, and he gets 3 trillion answers, you know, with every file that has the word can in it. And then he, you know, looks through all of them, goes through the last page, and then looks for the company's thing that, you know, the artifact that he's looking for, and, you know, he clicks on that. If he has to do it second and third and fourth and fifth and sixth, he will get really, really unhappy. But he doesn't have to. If he, by mistake, anywhere in the browser, signed into Gmail, then the search history is being remembered. And so, in fact, over a period of time, you know, for this guy specifically, when they look for Ken, they will show him the Ken that he's interested in. Okay? So, search engines can personalize their results. But how do they do it without invading your privacy? And how do you get people to give their search history to you? To me, in fact, one of the biggest, it's not that Gmail really makes that much money because people reading mail also read the advertisements and keep clicking. In some sense, they got a lot going because once you are logged into Gmail, anywhere in the browser's 3000 windows and 3000 tabs, then you are visible across all those tabs, and so anywhere you are searching, essentially it can use the user profile. What that means, and so in the past I could avoid, you know, having my user profile kept, but now it adds an extra thing. I have to have like a Safari running where I want to search for stuff that I don't want to know people about. And then some other thing running here where I have my Gmail. And once in a while you'll make a mistake, and then your thing will be thrown, and then you ask Google, clear my web search history, and says, yeah, sure, we did it. And any time you believe that an online entity just deleted you the stuff that you put in there, you know, you're kidding yourself, obviously, right? You know, it's like when kid says, I don't want to go to school. Yeah, you don't have to go to school. Just go to sleep right now. And then tomorrow, we'll just physically go and put them in the school. But that's a different story. Yes? Incognito is to who? You can do those too, for example. But the point is, the more steps you have to take, you know, the more likely that you would at once, more or less, you would leave the information public for the search engine. And in fact, it's the interesting thing about privacy is that you want actually the search engine to know your history. It's just that you don't want it to ever share it with anybody else. And then search engine cares very little about making you happy. It wants to share your history with other advertisers, at least, and police once in a while. Okay, so the point is that you really do need this. There is this tension, you know, all the interesting tensions. If it's only one side is good, the other side is completely bad, it's not an interesting problem at all. Here you want to be profiled, but at the same time you're worried about privacy issues. That's the issue. Anything else? Yes?
Trustworthiness.
That's interesting. Trustworthiness. That's a very good point. Again, you know, we will see that there are search engines which think that they have handled trustworthiness to some extent. But eventually, there are multiple ways of understanding trustworthiness. Okay, we basically, in our own lives, we trust certain individuals, and then we will just go with what they say, sometimes, okay, as against what the true answer is. You know, for example, you know, for some objective things, there may be answers, although as we live long enough, apparently there is nothing objective. Evolution is may or may not have happened, and you know, all sorts of other interesting things which are obviously reasonably objective are no longer objective according to popular imagination. Okay, but the bigger issue is that sometimes what you would consider trustworthy may not be what some majority considers trustworthy. And so there are interesting ways of, you know, evaluating what trustworthiness is. Okay, but that's a good point. But I'm not really sure, just like I would say actually that we have started being more ambitious and became less ambitious, because towards the end, these are things that are actually being done already by the search engines. When people said, this woman said, that she wants search engines to understand natural language processing, that was really ambitious, okay? And I don't think any of them are really understanding that, okay? Why natural language? We want spoken words. That's what we like, okay? We eventually are carbon-based life forms who cannot eat pizza by email, and we need to talk to people. You know, eventually we need to talk. And so that's the best way to, you know, interact with the web too. And spoken word, spoken language recognition is even harder than natural language recognition, because there are all sorts of other issues such as signal noise and so on. Okay, but that was very, you know, that's in some sense more ambitious. And then somewhere else, I'll get back. And even this, I don't know whether anybody said it, but this idea that don't give me, one of my favorite queries is, you know, when I first came, you know, different places have this, but for example, in US, if, I mean, I found out when I first came that if somebody asks, do you have time? You're supposed to give the time by looking at the watch. Where in the sentence do you have time? Is it obvious that the answer to that is, you know, the correct time according to your watch? You know, first I said, yeah, yes, what do you want to do? And then that wasn't the right answer. Okay? So the point is, completely ignore what my query is. Do what I really want you to do. Just do it. Don't show me the result. Just do it. Okay? That's, you know, we'll actually look at, I mean, I'll send you, if I remember, if not, remind me, another Woody Allen sketch on Lincoln, which to me is a great example of doing what people want done as against what they actually ask. And, you know, it's sometimes, you know, that's really what you want to do. And IR tries to do it, but doesn't really go far enough. So we were more ambitious here, somewhat less ambitious here. Is there anybody else who has any more ambitious things to say? Yes, go ahead.
Do everything from one page without having to move from page to page.
Yeah, but I mean, why have a page? So it's like your question is sort of like his. You know, it has two clicks. Why even have one click? And so why even have pages? You know, I should be doing whatever I am doing, and, you know, there's this whole idea of ubiquitous computing. You know, everywhere there's 3G, and, you know, we should have certain number of electrodes implanted, apart from having those funny injections done, so that we look good as well as are heard by the universe. And then basically, you don't need to do it from one page, you just do it from one head. Okay, it's hard to be ambitious, interestingly. You know, but that's part of what I'm saying. But, you know, do it all from one page is okay. Do it all from one page is, I would say it falls right about there in terms of level of ambitiousness. I mean, in the sense, if you want to write a paper that can actually get done in, you know, some number of years from now, I would work on those. If you want to just dream happily, I would work on this. Because completely understanding natural language processing is not going to happen right away. Okay. Anybody else who hasn't spoken? Yes. That's a very good point. Okay, so here is the other interesting thing that you have to understand. And this is basically my homework zero is being done in the class. So people who spoke got points, the rest failed. Okay. The homework zero, which I'll still make you do, is essentially to do this. Okay, because any sufficiently effective technology makes you think that you never needed anything more or less than that technology. It's hard to be discontented. It's surprisingly hard to be discontented. You'll start thinking, all I wanted is, you know, the most ambitiousness some people might have is, I wish Google page is in like magenta color rather than blue color. This is the thing. When you get to that, then the technology has really made you not think about what else you want to do. That's why, you know, as long as they do that, you are in, you know, good shape. And people who actually, much of the reason the new technologies work is because somebody thinks that there may be hidden, pent-up demand for this other type of ability. People may not know it, but if you present it to them, they'll start using it. And isn't it surprising that we've been talking for more than what, God knows how long, now it's like close to 45 minutes. And we haven't talked about searching for anything other than keywords. Okay, so we want to search by language, we want to search by images, show the image and say, you know, look for this or something. Okay, so yeah, that's a good idea. Multimodal, so search. Again, that also is actually being done. Search for things other than text. Okay, so I'm actually going to, this, we can continue doing this, and I hope that we'll do this in the back of your, you'll continue to do this in the back of your head, you know, when we're talking about any topics. In fact, one of the things that I am hoping to do is, you know, we have too many people, hopefully some of you would get overwhelmed and do something more interesting. Especially if we have like 32 people left or something, I want each class, there should be somebody who volunteers to tell us about some cool new thing that they found on the web that has some interesting capability that we should be interested in thinking about. Here is my other pet theory. In the old days, you could say that I didn't know that library existed because first I have to get out of the home, then I have to take a bus, then I have to go to this other place, and then I'll find that there's a library. So there used to be a distance, sort of, you know, multiple sequential things you have to do to get to where you want to go. Okay? So from the point of view of people who may have thought of, you know, you're all computer science people, we used to talk about search trees. So you are here and you can consider doing this, you know, take my car or, you know, go into the garage or something like that. And from there you can do some more things, from there you can do some more things. And then you could say, if something is very far away from where you are, it's not surprising that you didn't know about it. And you shouldn't feel particularly bad. With the internet, the problem is you have infinite branching factor, almost. Because everything is one click away. And why did I not know it? Because I didn't know that a click existed. Do you understand what I'm saying? So everything is out there. You know, you don't need to do 8 sequential steps to get to what you want, or 10,000 sequential steps to get to what you want. Everything, you know, interesting at least, you know, is probably there. You know, that you just have to know the link. Okay, and so since I don't know, and I only know half of the infinite number of links, and so I'm hoping that the only half, yeah. So I'm hoping that the rest of you will tell us for the class, you know, some interesting things that you found. You know, this particular service is doing this neat thing. And then particularly you could actually say, how is it connected to what we are doing technically in the class? Okay, we'll start that next week after Thursday when enough people would have made up their minds as to whether they're hanging around or not. Okay, so that's one way we will still continue doing this discussion. What I want to do now, since I want to give you at least some administrative stuff before the class gets over, is to tell you approximately some of the things that the course will look at. There is relations to some of these and some of those, and there may be more things there. I still want you to think of, you know, what are the interesting things that you would want to be able to do on the web, or want the web mediators to do for you, and then, you know, talk about whether that's easy or hard. So anyway, here are some things. Read all the web and remember what information is where. Be able to reason about connections between information. Read my mind and answer questions, or better yet, satisfy my needs even before I articulate them. Okay, so these are, you know, sort of one arbitrary summary of some of the things we talked about. Now the question is, how much of what we've tried to figure out in this course is how close is this dream to reality, and are we being too easy on our search engines because we are not dreaming enough? Okay, so the technology part, understanding, I'm sure all of you want to understand how certain search engine works or certain link analysis technique works, we'll do that. Okay, but I want you to also think of what you will do after this class. Okay, not just write a program, yet another program on PageRank for somebody else, but do something more interesting that, you know, and so that hopefully we'll do that, you know, distributed way. So each of you will be responsible for finding something really cool and telling us in the class in the first 5 minutes. And so you miss the 5 minutes, you'll miss that. And in the final exam, we'll probably have questions on it, if that helps. But anyway, but more interestingly, I'm just as interested as the rest of you to figure that out. Okay. So what do you do if you actually did complete this course? So this is what we're going to try and do, I said. And if you were to complete this course, I believe that you should be able to answer at least the minimum here, how search engines work and why are some better than others. The word some is becoming smaller and smaller. Okay, obviously this guy is an aficionado. You mean Bing, right? Okay. Can web be seen as a collection of knowledge as against being text? Okay, so knowledge, here is text, here is semi-structured data, and here is knowledge. Okay, and if I can read the whole thing, so you all did comprehension, reading comprehension stuff, right? Okay, how many of you I'm sure any even nonsensical reading comprehension meant for humans would not say, is the following sentence present in the paragraph you read? It never says that. If you said that, all of you would have got full marks in stat reading comprehension. Right? They will give you this paragraph and say, why do you think this particular character is doing this to this other character? Is it because this character is pining for something? You know, all this high level stuff. And you'll say, what the heck? None of this is written anywhere here. How am I supposed to answer this? So I'll just, you know, toss a five-sided coin and pick one answer. Okay? So that's how you get your SAT scores. So my point is that if you understood the comprehension, the text, then you would be able to answer that question, because you combined that, you took that, what the text is saying, put it into your brain, and you had already a bunch of other stuff, hopefully, in your brain before you went to that exam, and so you are now inferring with respect to this stuff and the other stuff you knew to answer the question. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when you do that, you understood at a semantic level, so that you can infer based on that what you learned with respect and what you already know to answer questions. Okay? So the question is that possible? And it's clear that if you can do it, it's easier. I mean, if you can do it, it'll be more effective search. At least you can certainly do well, better on the SAT. So would Google do well on SAT reading comprehension test? Not really. Did Google do well on Jeopardy, which now computers obviously are the reigning champions, right? Did Google do well? No. Okay? You know, people know what I'm talking about, right? Watson, the very small computer, which is wirelessly connected to a medium-sized, town-sized computer behind the stage, essentially, you know, won over this human champion. Okay, and in fact, I'll give you a link to a nice talk. I mean, there's several of these going around, but last week I was listening to the guy who was the project leader for Watson, who gave a talk on how he converted question answering how he was able to do this question answering well. Okay, I mean, their life was not all that easy, because they also had to deal with Alex Trebek's accent, right? I mean, if you think it's hard to understand my accent, you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it depends on, you may not like the guy's accent, and so you probably might not want to be able to, parse it correctly. So they're actually doing speech analysis, and then even after that, they don't quite know what the question is asking for. In fact, you know, since I'm talking about this, I just remembered this very interesting question. One of the questions that was, you know, one of the Jeopardy questions. How many of you saw Jeopardy on the TV? Okay. So, as usual, as you know, Jeopardy doesn't ask simple questions, right? I mean, some kind of a trick has to be there. Very few questions would be, you know, what was the date of, Indian independence? Or what's the date of French resistance, blah, blah, blah. Those questions are barely ever asked, because they don't seem to ask those. More of the things, for example, one question, one topic, this guy said this, last week. You know, I'm not a big Jeopardy watcher myself, but I found this very interesting. He was talking about this idea called Lincoln blogs. So that's the topic. So the topic is Lincoln blogs, okay? And then the question is, okay, Chase, you asked for it three times. Guess, buddy, I'm going to accept it this time. Now, problem, of course, is what is it that Lincoln is going to accept? Obviously, apart from SAT reading comprehension, you're also deficient on history. So Lincoln had a home secretary called Salmon Chase, who is a prima donna, and who would essentially every once in a while send a resignation letter to, you do whatever he wants, And then would send a resignation letter to Lincoln and say, you know, I'm sorry that I did it. If you really want to, you know, take my resignation, you can take it. And he was always bluffing his way this way. And so he did it three times, and the third time was the charm. Actually, Lincoln accepted it. Okay, so the question, remember what the question said. Okay, so, okay, Chase, you did it three times, you asked me for it three times. Guess, buddy, I'm going to say yes this time. Okay, and the answer is the resignation letter. When this Jeopardy question was played in, you know, an elementary school or a middle school, what did the kids say? Because they saw Lincoln blogs, most of the kids thought he accepted the friend request on the Facebook. Okay, from Salmon Chase. Okay, so, you know, not you guys fell apart because you didn't even know the history, right? But even if you know the history, you can get misled by the questions. Answering questions is more than just showing the keywords. Okay, can I do that? Can I, and I can do that if in fact I'm able to essentially, you guys understood once I told you the background knowledge that you're missing, woefully inadequate preparation of high school history. But, you know, so be it, you now know it. Once you knew the knowledge, you knew why the answer is correct. Okay, you could have understood that. And you could have, you know, parsed this question, answered that. Can we do that? And in fact, we apparently came close enough to doing it because Jeopardy did this. I mean, Watson did it now. In fact, he also told us some interesting things that Watson's own original versions did, which weren't any better than friend request. There are all sorts of other crazy answers can be given, okay? But anyway, so can we do that? And to some extent, we can, and you know, it will be interesting to understand how we can do that. Can useful patterns be mined from the pages data on the web? So in fact, if I have a whole bunch of 300 results, then can I summarize it? To be able to summarize it, I need to understand the patterns. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you should be able to say, suppose you said healthcare, God forbid, then you will get 3 trillion pages and you should be able to say that there seem to be sort of two big clusters, one for it, one against it. And what is the cluster that is for it saying? And what is the cluster that's against it saying? How did you figure that out? That's kind of mining the text. Now the interesting thing is, if you read all those 3 million pages, you can summarize it. You want your machine to do this for you, and you know that they can't. We don't actually know how to do full NLP. Can we still do this? Okay. Can we get by with partial knowledge? Which, come on, you guys came all the way here with partial knowledge. Why can't search engines do that? Okay. So that's what we would like to look at too. Okay. Can we exploit the connectedness of the connectedness of the web pages? Connectedness of the web pages, would exploitation of that would lead to things like page rank, would lead to things like influential people in a social network, would lead to things like the connecting people in a social network. So for example, now it's understood that advertisers are most interested in people who are sort of connectors. That means they seem to know how to influence variety of places in the society. And you can sometimes figure out who these connectors are by just looking at the topology of the social network. Then what you do is sometimes these advertisers will pay money to you to endorse their product or to sort of send spam mails to your friends with this information. So that if you can do that, of course, you know, you will make money there. But if you can essentially understand the connectedness of the web, you can figure out some of these issues of trustworthiness, some of these issues of reputation, some of these issues of influentialness. All of those can be done by looking at the connectedness. And one of the interesting questions is, connectedness sometimes may be easy. You know, in the normal web pages, there are links from page to page, the ugly blue link on which you click, and then it'll take you to something else. Okay. Many times, for example, here, sitting here, I referred to a whole bunch of people. But I did not put an href when I said that. I said Lincoln. So Lincoln got one extra mention from me. Michael Crowe got an extra mention from me. The Watson, the Jeopardy champion, got an extra mention from me. You understand that because you understand my language. I mean, the people who are able to still keep up with the accent. And then the question then is, can we do this? And if you don't do it, then you would not be able to tell. You know, if you are unable to parse my references, then you will not be able to do the analysis on the repetition. Okay, so that's the kind of technical issue. Okay, so this you will be able to answer by the end of the course. That's the, if you survive the course, that's, you'll get to do that. Okay, now a few things about, we still have 15 minutes, a few things about myself. I actually work in AI, so NLP is closer to my heart than IR is. In fact, neither of them are particularly close. I do other things like reasoning and inference. And then somewhere when I was in my middle age, which is continuing, I said I should do something else other than just what I'm doing, and so this was some other thing I started doing. So I normally teach 471, which is Intro to AI, which I will still be teaching next semester, and this other class, which is the seventh time I'm teaching it. So I sort of like this area. I have a bunch of students who worked in these areas, and they are actually better known than I am, and they have been reasonably successful. So that's where I get into this, but I don't live and breathe this every day. That's why I want you to read and tell me for 5 minutes in the first 5 minutes of the class something interesting that's happening. Okay? So for example, I mean, it probably should be almost a deal breaker that I don't read slash dot or dig. Okay? I don't. And so obviously you who do can tell me what are people digging these days, and then whether it's interestingly connected to something that we're doing here. Okay? Okay. And this is what you have to give me. And basically it's about your background, and you need to fill that and give it to me. This is the contact information. It's going to be, the slides are already up on the web. I just, you know, took them from there. And so this, all these slides are there, but you can read up there too. I forgot to remove this. These are obviously slides that I'm changing from time to time. And so this is from the last year. Ignore these two lines completely. I'm very sorry. I'm embarrassed. But, you know, I changed enough of them, but I obviously didn't catch this. So the class, in case you didn't realize, is from 4:30 to 5:45. And then I will send you my office hours. If you, one thing that you want to remember is the course webpage is, you know, has all the information that we will be discussing in the class, including audio recording of my lecture in case you don't get enough of my accent, and video recording of my face in case you don't get enough of that. Okay? And so everything is available. So you should know where the page is, and it's not on Blackboard. Okay? But if you just type pretty much anything like RAW or ASU, you'll get to my page, and from there it's easy to get to the information retrieval integration course. And I just did this before I came to the class, information retrieval integration course. If you type that across the universe, we are the first link. Okay? So clearly you're taking the right information retrieval and integration course, not those ones that are in the later pages. But anyway, so if you forget, you know, you'll be able to link that. And if you go there, you know, how many of you have already looked at the course homepage? The rest of you are in bad business. I mean, you're in the completely wrong business. I mean, you should, before you show up, this is a much simpler way to figure out whether this class is of interest to you or not than suffer through my lecture for 45 minutes. You should first see what's the course about. Okay? So, you know, you should definitely go and look at the web page. It has all the information, including the lectures, on it. Okay. Where am I going? I'm going back. Okay. So the topic coverage in this course would be approximately three pieces plus a bit. One, we will talk about text and information retrieval. We'll talk, as part of that, social networks. We'll talk about information retrieval, both traditionally as well as on the web. And then we'll talk about social networks, which are sort of links between people or links between pages. And the theory is pretty much the same, it turns out. Okay? And then we'll talk about information integration and aggregation. And then we'll talk about information mining, which is sort of finding patterns. And then other topics as permitted. So that's approximately the structure of the course.
What do you mean by treehouse?
By what?
Treehouse.
Treehouse. Sorry. Yeah, just a wordplay, obviously. Okay. These are the actual topics I covered last time. Okay. And if you went through the, and for all of these, the lectures are available along with the videos, I think at least for the last half. So we spent like one class last year on introduction and themes, one plus class. And the information retrieval, three classes. Indexing and tolerant dictionaries, two classes. Correlation analysis, latent semantic indexing, three classes. Link analysis, and IR on the web, three classes. Social network, another three classes. Crawling, MapReduce, which is the way, you know, you do large scale data. A couple of classes, and then that's like the first half. The second half is pattern mining, clustering, text classification, recommender systems, exploiting the structure, extraction, and integration. Okay, I'm just putting this out to you. For those of you who know some of the lay of the land, it might make sense, and you might think, "Hey, this is all boring. I should do something else." And those of you who don't know, you know, you do not have to know this right now. By the end of the course, if you still don't know what these are, you know, you would know from your grade that you don't what is that. Okay, books. There are no books. And basically, I have a big reading list which is there on the web. So actually, let me see if I can show you that. So if you go to this web page, so this is the web page, right? And then if you go to the readings list, then for every topic, there are papers or chapters from the books that I ask you to read before coming to the class. And then anything which is indented is optional. Anything which is doubly optional. Okay, so that's up to you. But the ones which are not indented, you're supposed to read. Okay, so that's how the course will go. So there are readings for this. I might, you know, change them, but approximately these are the readings. From the last time at least I did this. The one thing that you do have, if you like a textbook, I would suggest you look at this textbook, because this book is actually quite useful for most of the topics. Even cases where I give you other papers to read, if you want a more of a textbook level material, this would be a good book to look at. The good thing is you don't need to buy it. It's all available on the web. If you're using it, I suggest you buy it, because if you print them all, you'd have spent more money than buying the book. So that's the way it is. Okay, but you know, it's going to be a useful book. But that's not the only book I'm going to use. And you know, when I use chapters from there, I would then make links there, and they're available even if you don't have the physical textbook. Prerequisites: you should have data structures and you should know how to do programming. These things, if you have it, you might make sense of some of the things I'm saying, otherwise that's okay too. And then linear algebra turns out to be extremely important for a whole bunch of this course. And all computer science students have done linear algebra and have forgotten it, because they told them nothing about why linear algebra is useful in computer science. If you did electrical engineering or anything else, you would know why it's useful. But in CS, actually, it's very useful again in this course and a bunch of other courses. So, in fact, one of the early homeworks would be to make you remember the linear algebra that you should have remembered. You know, things like matrices, matrix inversion, you know, multiplication, if you forgot even that, you know, things like that. And then at least you should, and the one thing that would be very helpful to know is eigen decomposition of matrices, you know, eigenvalues and eigenvectors. That's something that will keep coming up, okay? And then you would have done probability statistics as part of computer science. That would be useful too. So those are the prerequisites. Okay. What it's not intended to be, it's not going to tell you how to be a webmaster. I'm assuming all of you are already webmasters, you know, otherwise you missed the boat already. You know, little kids are webmasters these days, okay? And I'm not one, so you know, you can't learn from me. Expose you to all the latest X buzzwords and technology. So we will tell you some of these things in terms of why they are relevant to our quest, but I won't tell you about the syntax and how to write large pieces of this. You know, so none of them are going to be gone into. And I will definitely not teach you JavaScript, Java, JDBC, etc., but you have to use them as part of the project. Okay. Grading. Actually, actually that's in a good enough time. So the way the grading works is projects and homework is about 45%. And then midterm and final is about 40%. And the participation is about 15%. That's the approximate idea. If I change it a little bit, I'll let you know. But you know, if you forget how much is what, you know, this is the way it will be approximately connected. And then participation is very important. I told you I am going to try doing this. You know, that one student will volunteer for each class to do like 5-minute pitch on some neat thing that they found on the web, and then why they think it's connected to this course. Okay, I mean, pretty pictures and look how beautiful it is not going to cut it. Okay, but something that is sort of relevant to this course. Okay, and then you know you should be listening to the class and asking questions and so on and so forth. And it's very important, and I actually said very, very important, and it's true. Because if you sleep, you may as well have come and slap me, because I will take it exactly that way. Okay? So if you want to do your cell phone email checking, asleep, etc., find some other place. You know, this is not the class for it. Okay? And despite the fact that I provide everything for you to ignore my class, I'm crazy in that I want you to show up. If you're registered, you better be here. Okay? Unless you broke your leg or some major family calamity happened. For breaking leg, you should let me know that I'm going to break my leg. That would be helpful. Okay? So seriously, I mean, I know that different professors have different ways of looking at this. Everything I'm going to say is already been recorded. If I'm showing up, you're showing up. Okay, and I said stuff, I came to the class thinking, I'll just repeat what I said last time. Last time's recording is available on the web, you're welcome to check. It's nothing like what I did today. Why? Because of you. Because of the way you interacted, because of the way you came up with the answers and so on. Okay, that's the only reason you have to take these classes sitting in front of me. Otherwise, just watch my videos, they're already available. Okay, you know, you assume that coming to the class is not optional. Okay. And no sleeping. The only difference between 494 and 598 students is the undergrad students. This is supposed to be an undergrad class. Senior level advanced topics undergrad class. Or graduate level just beginning class. That's the way it is. But there are, I think, majority graduate students, super majority graduate students, and sort of last in between the grad students are some undergrads. I think about 12 of them. The good thing about these brave souls who are actually taking the 494 is you will not be compared to the grad students. This might be a bad news for you. You probably could have gotten an easier grade if I compared you to the grad students. I don't know. Okay. But if you think grad students are these superhuman people who do extremely well and, you know, et cetera, you don't need to worry. You just need to worry about the other 11 undergrads. So if you need to kind of reduce the curve, get these other 11 guys to a party or something before the exam. The grad students won't cover for you. Okay, so 494 students, seriously, everything is the same except in the end, the numbers are converted into letters, the end of the course, and the number conversion to letter grades is not 90 above is A, 80 above is B, etc. There are years where nobody gets above 80 in my class. Okay, that's fine. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if you are not getting above 90, you don't necessarily have to jump from tall buildings. You know, I think you may still be doing fine. It'll be very bad after you jump, somebody finds that you got an A+, and that'll be really bad, okay? So don't worry about that part. Your approximate way you would do with respect to the class does matter. And the fact that I'm teaching this the seventh time does matter, because I know approximately where you fall in the number of students I have seen. Okay, so that's how the grading works. If you are worried about your grading grades, which you will start getting worried 2-3 weeks from now, you know, talk to me. You know, both grads and undergrads, but especially undergrads. Okay. The big thing about this course is you have a project to do, and it's non-negotiable. All of you are going to be doing. You know, by default, you'll all be developing a search engine by the end of the semester. Okay, the first part would be simpler. First part would just be doing text retrieval using vector similarity matrix, if you know what that is, but I'll teach you what that is. And the second part, you'll be doing link analysis, page rank, sorts of stuff. And third part allows you to decide which bells and whistles you want to add to your search engine. Okay, so that's the project. And if you have already written a couple of search engines and you're bored to death about writing one more, please come and talk to me. We can do some. You can do something completely different. Okay, there's no real reason to waste your time redoing something that you've already done. But most of you, I assume, have not written search engines, and so it could be a useful project for you. Okay. Expected background is you should be able to do Java. We unfortunately don't have the resources to debug your code. If you don't already know Java, and you the project is available on the project page. There may be changes, but you can actually read the current version of the project, all three parts. If it doesn't look like something that you that the whole thing looks totally hard for you, then you should probably consider either how to improve your Java skills or do this course some other time. Okay? So, but we will not have the resources to debug your programs or teach you how to program in Java. And the last thing I will say today, is there one more thing? Yeah, that's okay. Last thing I'll say today, and then we can come back next week, is there is an honor code. The honor code is something that I assume that you're all honorable people, okay, and that you won't cheat the system, and that's the assumption I will make intentionally, and then I'll hit you back with full force if you actually violate that assumption, okay. So if the basic idea is everything I say here, you know, the web search is the class. So I mean, many a time, part of the reason my page rank is high is because people are looking for homework solutions. And so they write the entire homework question to Google. And thankfully, Rao's page has the solutions apparently somewhere. So Google will say, you know, go to Rao's page. And so, you know, thankfully, I'm getting high page rank. But you too will be able to find solutions to some things that I'm asking you. Okay, if that's the only thing you learned from this class, you learned how to search the web, which I think you should have known already. Okay, what you need to do is do it yourself. And if I can prove that you didn't do it yourself, then it would not be a pleasant experience for you. I would pursue whatever the university says I should do on those cases, including taking you to the deans, and the deans will send you to the provost. Provost will send you to Michael Crow. Michael Crow will send you somewhere. You know, you don't want to get into it. Okay, I will not repeat this again. Okay, it's not, I'm not trying to be a policeman here. Okay, but I do want you to remember, if you decide to stay with this class, that honor code is the default, and if you are ever in question as to what you're doing is honorable or not, please check with me. Because if I find, and I have TAs who are seen all sorts of cheating over the years, very few of them try it, but we will catch you, and it will be not good for you. I'm assuming none of you will need to do it. Okay? So I'll stop here. There are a few more initial things that we may have to talk about, and then next class, mostly we'll start talking about text retrieval. And for that, I'll send you the readings, but it's basically the first, there are a couple of chapters from that reading, that book I showed you, that I'll send you a link to. Okay? So that's where we'll go. Thanks. Yeah, give me those sheets, leave this here.